Welcome to The Point Podcast, where we discuss life, breath, bodies, and how that all relates to our individual journeys. I am Katie Boehner, a performance life, breath, and body coach. I work with clients in groups, in person, in private, and virtual sessions, including a full online fitness studio and Precision Point High Performance Equestrian Coaching, focusing on balancing the breath through the biomechanics of riding. In this podcast, guests share stories of their courageous emergence that has led them to this point in their lives. A disclaimer to please seek medical advice before starting any new movement or breath practice. Thank you for spending some time with me today. How did you get to this point? It's not the destination that matters. It's the journey. Here we go. On this episode of the On Point podcast, I sat down with an inspiration. And this inspiration's name is Audrey Begay. Audrey and I have been coaching for the last 14 months, give or take. And over this time, I've been able to witness Audrey's goals, dreams, aspirations, professionally and personally, start to take flight. And through this conversation, you'll see what that means. So Audrey was born in California, raised in Southern Oregon. She served at Fort Hood in the Army. She became a Texan in 1994, and she started her business enterprise in 1998. She has a team of 13 people at Enterprise and serve over 400 families. Her practice focuses on helping families and small business owners plan for their life dreams, goals, through a personal long-term financial planning relationship. Audrey has been on the Barron's top 100 women list for 6 consecutive years. Additionally, she and her team were also recognized and selected by Forbes as one of the top 200 women financial advisors in Financial Times' top 400 advisors in the country. Audrey is an avid triathlete and has committed to living a healthy lifestyle and has completed 2 full Ironman. Audrey supports local community organizations to include the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, right on, which raises scholarship funds for the Texas area youth. She also raises funds for leukemia and lymphoma research and cures through the Team and Training Organization, where she has served as a participant, mentor, and coach in addition to her fundraising efforts. Her team has joined together and volunteered at many local nonprofit organizations to include Books for Kids, Houston Food Bank, and the Magnificent House, just to name a few. Audrey has a business degree from Tarleton State University and holds her CFP designation. Most recently, Audrey was recognized in 2023 and 2024 Forbes Top 10 Women Advisors, Best in the State of Texas. So, this is an inspiration. Sit back and enjoy our conversation. Go fly, Audrey, go fly. On this episode of the On Point podcast, I have this amazing pleasure to sit down and talk with Audrey Begay. I have known Audrey for the past year and a couple sprinkle months. We have been working together through my coaching program. And it's really exciting to have Audrey on this podcast. She's a really unique individual. She's incredibly motivating. She brings an awful lot to the table. So Audrey, I would love it if you could just go ahead and do a formal introduction of who Audrey is. What are you up to these days? And then we'll get into some more of my formal questions. So first and foremost, thank you for your time and sitting down with me today.
Sure. I'm excited to be here, and I've really enjoyed working with you over the last year and sprinkle months. It's brought a lot of light to my life and given me a really nice path forward. So I'm excited to be here today and sharing this time with you and with others. So I don't know which one to share about myself. I'm a financial advisor, private wealth advisor with Ameriprise Financial. It's what I do currently, although I'm transitioning with your help into whatever the next phase of my life is going to be. And I'm really excited for what's coming ahead. I've started over the past year pursuing my private pilot's license, which has been a lifelong dream and ambition of mine. And so I'm excited to be venturing on that path. And that's taking me to some really exciting places. I'm hoping even more exciting places. So I'm not sure what anything else that you want me to add.
Well, I think that's a really great place to start. And one of the things when we started to work together that I found really inspiring was Audrey has a, whether or not you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to us from your device, Audrey has an infectious energy to not only her professional life, but her personal world as well. And I would love it if you could take just a few moments and organically kind of explain, you know, where you have felt inspired in your life to take the path that you've taken through wealth management. And I think it's also important to recognize that you are an entrepreneur as well. And what you did, what was your kind of launching point as you went through childhood into adolescence to really take on the role of entrepreneur, which is a very distinct type of person. So that's kind of where I like to start, is where you are today, but how did you get to this point of being entrepreneur, wealth management? Also, we will kind of like wrap back around to the pilot's license, because that's really, really exciting. And if any of you that have your pilot's license or you're in the process of getting it can honor where Audrey is in this, because it is a really exciting process that takes a tremendous amount of commitment and dedication. And you're almost done. You're making your way through it.
Getting there. Yeah. Little by little.
So we can back up a little bit to, you know, where's the origins of Audrey? Where did you grow up? Where did you start to kind of feel this really infectious fire in your belly? And I know I'm not the only one that has felt like that in your presence. So where is the origins of that? And, you know, I don't think is an answer you're going to give me. I think you're going to have some pretty good ideas about where some of that came.
I don't know where it came from, to be honest. It's just inside me, and I like to share it. That's one of the things about me, is I want not only to feel it myself, but I want others in the room to feel the excitement. So I love to just bring energy to whatever I'm doing. And so I tend to, as a result, always be the ringleader without even trying to be. And it's happened multiple times throughout my life. In fact, I was in basic training. I was in the Army at one point as well. And everyone was looking at me like, okay, so what are we doing next? Like, I knew, like, I'm in basic training just like you. I have no idea. But somehow in every form or facet of my life, I end up being in some form of leadership, whether it's formal or informal. And sometimes I'm welcoming that. And other times I just wish I didn't have to. But I've learned to just embrace it and just enjoy it. And so by the nature of that, it's led me to be a natural coach and mentor to friends, sometimes solicited, sometimes not solicited. So I'm trying to do better at not being giving unsolicited advice. But I'm very passionate, and I tend to speak my mind at all times and just be open and honest. And I feel like if everybody could be that way, then the world would be a better place. I don't believe in games and any of that. So you asked me what inspired me to go down the path of being a private wealth advisor and financial advisor, and kind of where I came from.
And like the entrepreneurial aspect of that, right? Like this, I can hear what you're saying, this kind of leadership nature is somewhat ingrained in you, where this has been a little fire in your belly from a young age. And where was the springboard into the wealth management and the idea of you running your own company on that level?
Yeah, it's funny, because I don't think when I started out initially knowing that I wanted to be a financial advisor, that I thought that I'd be a business owner in the long run. That just kind of evolved over time. But what I did want to do is make sure that I could help others to be in a more solid financial position, both confidence-wise, financial-wise, family security. Security is big for me. I grew up as a child. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 7 years old. And we were a family of three kids. And I'm adopted, which has a lot to do with my background and how I got grew up, but my mom struggled, and I watched her struggle all through growing up. We were on welfare throughout my entire time growing up after my dad left. And so I just observed, you know, the things that I did not want in my life. And that was a good teacher and a good lesson that I wanted to also help others to not be in that same situation. And predominantly I wanted to help females and also help myself along the way. I figured if I could learn about finance and help others, that, you know, that would be fulfilling for me and making sure that other people were in that same situation. So that's kind of what started me down the path of being in finance and a financial advisor. And I really truly do love helping people. And that's the thing that I get the most satisfaction of what I do. And just seeing people realize their goals. And just every single time I hear the words, when I leave your office, you just give me this peace of mind that everything's going to be okay. And you know, when I was even starting out in this career, people at the bank, I didn't even know anything about finance, hardly. I was working at a local community bank. And they would say, this is really what drove me to finance, is they would say, when I sat down with them and talked to them about their options when they were having these CDs mature and what we should do with it, or their loans and what we should do with those, they would tell me that I would talk to them in a manner where they felt comfortable, they understood what I was saying, I wasn't talking over their head. And so it really made me feel like this is where I belong. And I don't feel like anybody really needs to show themselves as being super smart and self-important. And I think that's where people go wrong in careers like this, where let me show you what I know. I think it's more about the person that you're talking to and making them feel comfortable and confident. It's not about you, right? It's not about me. It's about them. So then down the road, as I progressed in my career, I started out, so I have a roundabout way to get here. So I went through the Army to get my degree, my college degree, because I needed that to start. So I worked all throughout the Army and got my, actually worked on my college degree in the Army night school. So I finished like 2.5 years of college while I was in the Army. Also, while I was in the Army, I actually went through officer candidate school and became an Intel officer. And again, became in charge.
Intel officer, that actually might be a perfect role for you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my military time. And, but I'm, as you said, I'm always, got this fire inside me. And so it wasn't enough, like sitting around. So you do a lot of, hurry up and wait is what we call in the Army. So hurry up to get where you're going, but we're going to wait when we get there and wait to do everything. Right. And so I just don't do waiting very well. I want to go, I need to do.
Yes.
And, so the long-term military career was not going to be for me. But it was more of a kind of a launching pad of, to get to where I am. So I got out, finished up my degree and started here where I am today. And so I just completed my 25th year with Ameriprise Financial, which I love. I love my company, my colleagues, my team, my clients. It's been such a rewarding and fulfilling thing. But as I continued down the path as an advisor, I was asked to be in leadership again, which I didn't necessarily want to do, but I did. And so I did that for a short stint, and then got out of leadership and then went back into private practice. And then I started really developing, what is it that I want to accomplish in this career? Mm. And I knew I wanted to be a advisor that would eventually have a team. My vision was to have a team of at least 3 to 4 female advisors. That was important to me, and have a team, a large enough team to really help a lot of people. And so I started out with that vision, and it was just me to start. And then I joined a team practice in Houston, and then eventually branched out on my own with the help of my now business partner, Cecilia Garcia. She's been a fantastic friend. A gift in my life. And I'm just so appreciative for all the things that she's brought to my life and that I've brought to hers. So we've had a great rewarding friendship and business path together. And so I was able to actually realize that that dream and build a business that was generating about $5 million in revenue a year. And so, you know, that's one of the things I do also love about the career in finance is I have a really close friend of mine who started out about a year after me, and she writes about 150,000 and she works about 25 hours a week. Mm. And I worked 75 hours a week and I grew my business. And I have friends all across the spectrum. You can really do what you want to do and create what you want to create. And people always look at me and go, I don't want to be what she does. Or I can't what she does. But I don't believe that. I believe everybody can do what they want to do. It's just,
I believe that too.
Yeah. Setting your vision and purpose and executing, honestly. I think that's all it takes.
Yeah. I want to pause you just for a minute. You've said a couple really key things, and I'm not even sure you noticed you said them, but a couple things that has led to a lot of your success and why you're so wonderful to work with, whether I'm coaching you or you're a client that works with you, is you said, I had a vision and I asked myself questions. And I have said to you, you know, I really enjoy working with people that are, you know, at the 10%ers, the 5%ers that are really willing to, you know, drive from that belly, not so much, you know, you're stacking themselves against other people, but you stack yourself against yourself by questioning internally along with your vision. I see where I want to go. Like you look forward and then you can backpedal and take the small incremental steps to get there. And I mean, I've been working with you now for a long time and it's really interesting to see that it's very congruent with the way I coach, but this is, I think, one of the reasons you've been so successful in the coaching is it's actually how you're programmed even before we began. This is what you've been doing for yourself all along. So I just wanted to let that be known that in listening to you, it's such a beautiful way to use words and a beautiful way to use the challenges that we've all bumped into through our processes. And for you to bump into these challenges, like, hey, I love how you can take the challenges of, you know, growing up in a household where there was financial stress and you turn that stress into motivation. And again, that instantly, even the know you're 8, 10, 12, that slides you into a different bracket of person, a different type of mentality, which if you have that type of mentality, it's really hard not to succeed. So it's fascinating that nobody taught you how to do that. That was just how you perceived this external challenge into the internal environment actually added to your flame, which I think is really fascinating to kind of wrap back around why I like to do these podcasts once I get to kind of know you really well, because there's even things in like little tokens that I can pick up along the way that help me make sense of this person that I've gotten to know so well over the last year and a half. Like it's been amazing to see the reflection in that, in your evolution or your becoming to who you are in this day. And what's really neat is that you're only going to continue that forward. Like you can't lose that quality. And it's really very cool. Can I ask you a question about when did you decide within that path that you were going to lean into the female energy, into wanting to hire women and having women on your team?
Gosh. So, you know, like I said, I really had that long-term vision of what I wanted it to look like. So it was early on, but it was also a long-term process to get there because I was actually in a practice where that was actually owned and led by males. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of females that were support, but we didn't. I was the only female advisor. Mm. Everyone else was in a support role. And so I did not have a lot of input or autonomy at all. So, and I was in that partnership for 11 years. Mm. So I had to be patient and I knew what I needed to do. I needed to build my business during that time and grow it enough so that I would be financially secure enough to bring others on.
Yeah.
And the business would be able to sustain not only myself, but many others. Right. So that was a vision that took a long time to play out and to actually realize. And I thought for a while there, I thought, man, am I going to actually do this? Because it's so difficult to find female advisors in our industry. We're only like 17% females in our industry.
17%. Wow.
And Ameriprise is doing a stand-up job at having like 20%.
Wow.
So that's one of my driving passions going forward, is to try to continue to grow the female, not only female advisor force. We have a lot of people on the team. I'm sorry if you can hear the blower in the background, but there's okay.
I can hear.
So that's why it's a passion for me, because as I'm in this wonderful, amazing career and I'm talking to clients and they tell me how much they love working with a female, because they feel like they can open up, they can be honest, they can be raw, and they don't have to, I feel like, if they're talking to a male, you kind of have to put this bravado on. No, I know that. But with women, they just let their guard down. And women are naturally empathetic, natural listeners, and naturally we're caregivers. So I think it's a big miss that women don't seek out this industry. And I think it's just from lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And so if we can do a better job of getting out there in the public and showing, look, right. I think that's the other thing that inspires me too, is I didn't always think this way, but I'm thinking about more and more is, as I keep getting told that I'm inspirational to others, now instead of me shying away from it, now I'm kind of being drawn to that, saying, you know what? I really want to be an inspiration to others. I want people to know they can choose this as their career, or they can choose to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, anything. But I think the biggest thing is choosing a big enough vision and pushing yourself. And that's what I've always done. I mean, even starting out, I was doing, I did triathlons for several years. Yeah. And I started out with the vision of, I just wanted to really cross the finish line and do a triathlon and check that bucket list off. And then
how many have you done, Audrey? Give yourself a little pat on the back. How many triathlons have you finished?
I don't know the number. I've done multiple, because I did it for about a decade.
Yes.
I do know I did 2 full Ironmans.
Yes.
6 half Ironmans. I've done probably 10 Olympics, and I've done so many sprint triathlons, I can't even count them, along with duathlons and adventure races. And I love the whole aspect of racing and the competitive nature.
Yeah.
And with triathlon, it's also, you're competing not only with yourself to PR your own times, which I love, but you're also competing with people in all the other age groups. And it's very humbling as well. You could be running along and you think you're just killing it and doing a great job. And this, 70-year-old or 17-year-old or 7-year-old past you, and you're like, what's going on? There's always more room to improve.
Yeah. And I think you said something else that was really, really, really key. And I think anybody listening to this needs to like take heed to this, in that this should be a quote, an Audrey Begay quote, is your vision needs to be big enough, right? Like, how many Ironmans, how many half marathons, how many, all of these sprints, like, you have to have this vision almost terrify you. It's so big.
Yes.
And I think that's really, really important. I mean, there's lots of psychological reasons for that. And I think a lot of the times people are just scared to ask for what they really want.
Yes.
And to really lean out there and say, hey, actually, from a very young age, you inadvertently kept this vision huge, huge. And it's such a pleasure to have met you when you're kind of coming into full fruition of this vision. And Audrey's not like, oh yeah, check, now I'm just going to be done and retire. No, Audrey wants to like take now the foundation of the nourishment of the nebulous energy of this vision. And you're expanding not only for yourself with your pilot's license, and then where you want to go potentially to, helping others find their way through the financial world, is, it's a really key thing you said, that your vision has to be big enough.
And the reason why I say that a lot, and the reason why I've used that as a driving force for me too, is I thought, if your goal is here, you don't quite accomplish that goal, you're still going to be here.
Still going to land. You're still going to be in a really cool place.
Yeah, but you're going to be way higher than if you start your vision here and then you end up here.
was that quote, shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll land amongst the stars, right? And it's just, exactly. It kind of gives me chills. And again, why it makes you so perfect for what you have accomplished is that you're willing to take the risk to ask for the vision to be bigger than who you are in that moment. And that's a guaranteed success. So again, about the women, how do you find these women? How have they found Audrey? How has that happened? Because I think that we've talked about this before and I think it's kind of cool. How do you find them? And how can they find more financial opportunities moving forward?
So it's really challenging, honestly. Cecilia was actually referred to me by one of our employees, and she had talked to Cecilia for several years, you know, for maybe a year or two. And she's like, you and Audrey would be a perfect fit together. You really should come interview and talk. And Cecilia's like, yeah, well, sure. She was doing her own thing. And then, her friend kept talking to her and said, no, her would be just a great fit. And so finally, about a year or so later, she came and then she interviewed, and she was actually my right hand for years and years and years. So she was a staff person and worked her way up from a staff person to, you know, senior client service person to, you know, an associate advisor to now, you know, financial advisor. Now she's a partner. And so I've been able to not only help guide her along the evolutionary journey, but see her grow from this kind of shy girl to who said, I could never be you. I could never speak on a stage. Now she's being asked. She did a speaking engagement like last week. And I was like, I didn't even know you were doing this. Like, this is so awesome. So now she's stepping out and shining her light for everyone else to see. And the other thing is, you know, she's Hispanic. So, you know, there's a very small percentage of Hispanics in this industry too. So she's going to even bring something else of another element.
That's
which I think is exciting. And then Lindsay, who's our AFA, and then Alexis is our newest one. Lindsay, I was actually doing a speaking engagement here locally with Barron's, a regional Barron's event where I was talking about financial planning and our business and what we do and how we do it to other advisors and just sharing best practices. And I love to do this kind of things. It's always fun. And also to connect with other people in our industry. And so after I got finished, one of the gentlemen came up to me and said, I have a girl that needs to come work for you.
Ooh,
and I'm thinking, why wouldn't you just have her work for you? Right? If she's that fabulous, why wouldn't you just keep her? And he said, well, honestly, I just think, you know, after hearing you speak, she needs to be under you and she needs to learn from you and grow from you. She needs a female mentor. And so, and Lindsay at the time was probably 24, 25. And she was working for another practice in Louisiana, and he gave her my information and she interviewed with me. And I think a week later, we hired her.
Okay.
And yeah, so she's been, she's like in her sixth year with us now, I think. And she's just a rock star. And in fact, Ameriprise has asked her to speak nationally as well. And so she's also being being watched and groomed to be a big time advisor. And then Alexis just joined us over the last 6 months. And so it's difficult. Some of it's by referral. I actually did a post one time on Facebook, and that's how I got my COO. I just said, you know what, I'm going to post. And I learned this from somebody else. So it's not anything that I developed or thought of. You know, a lot of things that we do, we just steal from others and, you know, repackage them and do them as our own, which I think is fabulous. Sharing best practices, I think is key. Yeah. And probably in any industry, but we were looking for more talent. And so I posted on Facebook that the characteristics, not for the role, characteristics is, you know, what we were looking for, you know, people that are self-starters, that are caring, that care about others, that want to be part of an organization, a team that, you know, has a really good family atmosphere and you know, is just willing to work hard, but also willing to to give themselves and play hard and really enjoy the aspects of what we do. And so through that post, I actually got several people interested, and our current COO, Nicole, who was in New Hampshire, who you know, responded to that and came and interviewed and went through a several interview process. And now she's running our organization, and she's been a fantastic addition. And
yeah, Nicole used to come to my classes years ago, and she was always interesting to me when she first came to class. This is one thing that nobody else has done. She came in, she's very well dressed. She's a beautiful woman. And she came in and stood in my studio, fully dressed, incredibly intimidating, and watched me teach for a half an hour in her high heels, standing in the corner, watched me teach. She asked if she could come watch a class. And of course, you know me, I'm like, absolutely, come on in. And I didn't realize that she was going to come in with this presence, which inadvertently, just as you have found out in your work, it lifts the whole room when your vibration is up there. And she ended up having really good feedback, and she came to class multiple times a week for many years. And then she told me she was moving to Texas. And I was really sad. I'm like, you're going where and why? And she goes, I actually interviewed for the job of my dreams, to work with somebody that I really look up to. And so she moved to Texas to work for you. And it's been a really wonderful thing. She's an amazing human. And I can just imagine she's been a great addition to the business for sure. So it's kind of neat how I think like seeks like, and water seeks its own level, and to be patient in your vision, to be patient in that. And I think that post was quite brilliant in that it's instantly self-reflective, which is how you have to be if you're going to be in this type of advising, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's been amazing. And actually, it was her encouragement and perseverance in getting you and I connected. So,
yeah,
she was. I told her, I made a comment that I wanted to be more calm.
I'll laugh now. You are, like, I think you are.
I'm not. I'm always going and going.
Your HRV is calmer, let's be honest.
Thanks to you. And I use that breath a lot, but I probably don't do it as much as I need to, but it's also helped me in flying. So I mentioned we were at a leadership retreat, and I said, and so one of my goals, cause you know, in order for me to achieve my goals, and I think for others to do this as well, is you got to get it out and open, and you have to share it. And that way other people hold you accountable. And I can hold myself accountable to a certain extent. I'm a very disciplined person, but even I have my weaknesses, right?
You, Audrey? Oh, dear.
Sure. You know, it can be good enough sometimes. Right. And I want to be good enough, right? And so so she mentioned a couple of times that, you know, I have somebody that you should talk to. And I said, yeah. And then we talked about it again. And I said, all right, you know, it was a time I was waiting. I was ready to start making my transition from being a private wealth advisor, CEO, business owner, entrepreneur to my next phase in life. And that scared the hell out of me because I have so many things I want to do, and I can easily be dragged down a million different directions because I just have all these ideas. And so I knew I needed focus and guidance, and I needed to be able to set an intentional path. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to give this Katie character a shot. Mm-hmm. and so I reached out to you, and we had our first call, and it was an instant connection. And so I'm super thankful.
Yeah. Likewise, we have had a really beautiful connection from the very beginning, and we did a little bit different. We did our intensive together. So I flew down to Houston, and we were together for a solid 3 days. And Audrey, you might not be surprised at this point, worked really, really hard. And we did a lot of our coaching walking through the park behind her house, walk, 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 and talk, 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 talk. And
walk.
Undone. It was a brisk, beautiful walk from January. And it was just wonderful to hook up with somebody that was so interested in working. And Nicole was very sweet. She goes, I'm gonna refer somebody to you. And I really trust you with her. And it was Nicole's way of, you know, honoring who she sees in you. And it's just kind of interesting, like what you're saying about what you see in other people and wanting them to believe in themselves and do things. Nicole saw that in you and offered that path for you. And it's just beautiful. And leaning again, it all comes back to your vision, your intention, and letting it be bigger than you are, or being even more aware that you're part of something bigger than this human body, and letting that kind of infiltrate everything that you do. You know, it's not hard at that point. Opportunity just starts to show up, and you get to work together. And I think it's really courageous too, just to say, somebody at your level of your life to reach out and say, hey, I just need some guidance. Like I need an accountability coach. I need somebody to kind of help me ask the questions that I'm already really good at asking myself, but this is a different time in my life. And to not let arrogance or egotistical mindset or fear dictate where you're going, because life is going. So we can decide how much of an involvement we want to have in that. And the more involved you are in it in a beautiful way, you actually get to where you're going a lot quicker. So for right. you to your level to reach out to a coach, I think is super commendable. That, you know, none of us ever have it all figured out at any one point. And to work together with somebody has really, it's been amazing to watch your transition. It really has, into even more of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, working with a coach comes natural for me, actually. And I think it comes naturally, more naturally for women. We are actually, one of my next adventures, my next roles is going to be a instructor, coach, mentor through the, it's called Next Generation C-Suite Academy, where we're going to be training advisors, CEO level advisors, and their future generation leaders to know what it takes to transition their business, to structure their business so it can have a successful transition, and to train the future leaders of what it takes to be a CEO, or what it takes to be a CFO. I mean, there's so many different roles that, marketing officer, whatever it's going to be. So, this has come about from working with my business coach. So I have a business coach and I have a life coach. So when I talk about these things, my friends probably think, who is this girl? She has all these coaches, but I also got to be
14.
Right. I had a coach to be in triathlon. Right. So, and mm-hmm. I think women naturally, and the reason I brought up the Next Generation C-Suite is because, and why I want to work with women and how it all ties together.
Yeah.
The predominant majority of people that are interested in the academy have all been women.
Interesting. Yeah.
Women, I think, are better at accepting guidance and feedback and advice and mentorship, and we just naturally kind of work together. And I think, you know, we can let our egos go and not have to be very self-important and be the most important person in the room, right? And so I think that's really key, and that's another reason why I really appreciate working with females and growing them, because we all can learn from each other, and it doesn't matter what level that you are. We can all learn, right? And I learn all the time from people younger than me, older than me. I mean, you just never know when those nuggets are going to come along. It's just, you just have to be open to it and listen.
Yeah. And I just want to honor what you have done for the feminine energy within a very masculine driven field. And there's beautiful men involved in the financial fields that we know of.
Yeah.
At the same time, they do have just a natural advantage. And so for you to bring a very, interestingly enough, a very masculine leadership energy to empower the feminine within your field is unique. And there's a lot of women that don't even know they're going to bump into your practices, your best practices of the masculine energy being interwoven with the feminine energy, which is kind of, you know, in a lot of ways where some of this is going. And so I think you have a really important role within the financial world to continue to empower women throughout. So thank you for that. And thank you for all the women that are coming that are going to bump into your best practices and being, you can be a masculine energy, leadership driven woman and still be very feminine in how you approach things. Yeah. It's really very cool. Very cool. Yeah. All right. Another question for you is, how do you and this one might be hard. How do you balance your personal life, your working out? I know you live a very healthy lifestyle with diet, exercise, sleep. How do you balance that with your professional life? You know, I know that this conversation will attract people that are up on the upper echelons of professionalism, and that's a challenge. Like, how do you balance all of that?
It's difficult. It's always been difficult. It's fitness, health is a lifestyle. It's not a choice for me. It's just always been something that's driven me. And so I just view that as something I have to do. And I do it not just because I want to be healthy, but I feel better. And I used to joke around with my husband. I said, you should make sure that I work out every single day, because I'm a much better person when I work out. When I don't work out, I could be a little brisk.
Brisk. The breeze blows a little briskly. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but I was good.
All the time would contact me, text me. I need to buy a 10 class pass for my wife, and I'm giving it to her for her birthday because she's always nicer to me after she's been to class. I'm like, you betcha.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm just like the next person. You know, sometimes I love to work out, and other times I'm just like, oh, like this morning, I did not want to go. But boy, as soon as I get done, I know what I'm going to feel like, and I feel so much better. And so I just make the time, and I make sure that it's built into my calendar. And so what I look like today is so much different than I would look like 10 years ago and 10 years before that. So I didn't have balance. I worked out at 4 a.m. so I could work out before I would go to the office at 6 a.m. And I would work from 6 a.m. till about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night every day. And then on the weekends, I would work probably 4 or 5 hours a day on the weekends. And I did that for about 10 to 15 years. And then I slowly started cutting back, but I did it for a reason. I did it because I wanted, it was intentional. I knew what I was doing. I had people that started with me that said, you know, I'm not willing to put in that time, and that's okay. And they either went on their path. Some of them stayed advisors. Some of them did not. Many of them did not. But it was because I wanted to build this business, and I wanted to be a big business. Right. And I knew I didn't want to wait. I can't wait for anything. Everything has to be now. So I'm impatient. And so, I figured, well, if I'm going to do it, if they tell me it takes, if I have to see 8 people, have 8 leads to see 4 people to have 1 client, well, I'll just double that. So, and then if I'm going to have this many appointments on my calendar, I'll just double and triple book so that I can make sure that I'm going to see those people, because people are going to cancel, or, because for whatever reason, family, health, whatever, work. So I would just work. So I used to call myself, and I still do a little bit, that I'm a recovering workaholic. it's very natural and easy for me to just drive myself. And so that's what I'm trying to stop doing. I don't want to be that person anymore.
And how did you feel in your body during those years of that drive? How did your body feel?
So in the early years, it was fine. Yeah. But then I recognized that I needed to have some better balance. And so that's actually how I started doing triathlons. I said, well, if I schedule something, I will do it, and I'll get out of the office. So I'll have to leave if I have to go to train. So I've got to go run by.
We're going to go to yoga. We're going to go train for triathlons.
Right. Exactly. We're going to go swim, bike, and run 6 days a week.
Right.
And there's going to be people there to do it with, and a coach to guide me through it. And I have to leave the office to get there. And it's also another great way to give back. I was raising money for leukemia and lymphoma. Right. At the time. And and I wanted to give back to the community in some way. And I'm not a traditional in many ways. I can't just go sit there and fundraise like a normal person. So I'm going to fundraise by doing an endurance event.
Now, did you find that once you started to integrate a little bit of that balance in, how did the triathlons then help your performance at work?
Oh, helped tremendously. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely got a lot more balance. I was much happier. It gave me endurance in everything, really. Endurance training gave me endurance in everything.
I love that. Yes.
And then, you sleep better. You know, you also have to balance, because this career has a lot of entertaining in it. So you go to conferences, you're stretching the hours doing things, you know, with whether it's client dinners, client events, conferences. So, you know, it makes me also pull back and say, I can only do this to a certain extent because I have this I need to go for, right? And piloting is actually doing that for me too, because now I don't have all those other things driving me. Now it's like, okay, well, I need to balance what I'm doing on my fun Audrey side, because I need to be available and present and able to fly.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask that question for that exact reason is, you know, as you're transitioning out of that lifestyle for you, like what was next? And like, when did you decide that the piloting was something that you wanted to do before me? Go back to when, I think I remember the age, but I want you to fill in the blank. And when that little, it was like a seed that you planted long time ago that has now come up and it's filling the same role as like the triathlons did to create balance within your life, which again is an example of a 3% or somebody that tends to be quite successful. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I've always wanted to fly, and not just fly as a passenger. I've always wanted to fly. I wanted to be the pilot. And when I was a kid, we used to go to air shows all the time. We've always lived around military bases, which is funny. So I loved going to see airplanes. And then when I was 17, I had the opportunity to sign up for ground school in high school. They offered a class. And so you could basically do almost everything that you need to do to sit and take the ground school exam. I had never been in a plane, never been up in the air. And I knew I wanted to do it. And so I was like, I'm doing it. And I took ground school and actually did fairly well at it. Cause you know, anything that you enjoy, that you love, it may be hard,
yeah,
but you'll do it. And it's hard. It's not an easy thing. And people are like, you're studying again. I'm like, you have no idea how much material is involved. Yes. But so I did that, and I actually still never flew for almost another year after that. And my very first flight as a passenger was actually a long range flight to Korea. That's my first flight there. And I sat intentionally by the window, and I just couldn't wait to take off. And I'm sitting there watching the airplane take off. And I mean, you know, some people have never been in an airplane. They're just terrified. And I was just so thrilled and excited. I was watching the whole entire thing. And I never forgot it. And every single time I get in an airplane, I still have that same feeling, whether I'm the pilot, the passenger, and I still enjoy every aspect of it. And so I said, you know, along the way, I always wanted to be a pilot, but I worked so many hours and I had so many things going on, and there was just never time. And finally I was getting close to 50, and I said, well, maybe that'll be my goal when I turn 50. So my bucket list to start. Well, that came and went. and I didn't start doing that until my neighbor, I think God sometimes just has a hand in everything, right? Yeah. So my neighbors moved, and I was really sad about that. They moved down the street. They were cyclists and really amazing people. But the new neighbors that moved in are both pilots. And they're retired CEO level executives that became pilots after they retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having some glasses of wine at their house, and we got to talking about it. And I thought, why am I waiting?
Right.
Why don't I just do it now? And so I started restructuring my schedule at work, and I incorporated. So now I started taking all Fridays off. So I don't work any Fridays, and I try to fly every Friday, and Mondays I don't see clients. And I've done that for years to create some balance at work. So I said, I'm not going to allow any client meetings on Mondays to allow to prep for the week. I have a perfect calendar where client appointments are set at certain times. So my staff isn't allowed to like plug things in randomly without permission. And they have very, very tight guidelines of what they can and cannot do. So I'm very structured and operate in that way. And so it was exciting when I started talking to them, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. And so I started a year ago, actually, after talking to you and put that in motion into my first discovery flight in February of last year. I wanted to be done by July, because I'm such a goal oriented, driven person. And I said, this has been such a good life learning for me, is that you can't control everything. And I know that.
Right.
I'm big on the buckets. Like, you know, there's things you can control, there's things you can influence, and there's things that you can't control. If I can't control it, I don't worry about it. If I can influence it, then I will try. The things that I can't control, those are the things I worry about. And so I cannot control the weather.
The weather has definitely, and you're in Houston and you're by the ocean and it's very humid and there's a lot that goes on down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weather, I can't control the schedule. I can try to influence it. And so now I'm getting ahead of it. I'm only allowed to schedule 5 lessons at a time. So here now, yeah. And then my instructor has to be available. And at the time my plane had to be available. So I had to coordinate my calendar, my instructor and the plane and the weather.
And the weather.
Right. And so, you know, the plane that I was working, that I was training in was having mechanical issues all the time. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to take that variable out of the equation, but buy my own plane. So I bought my own plane. So I don't have that variable anymore. Yeah.
So again, that's an example of, you can't control everything, but the things I can control, I'm going to do something about. And so now you have this plane and it's working out great. And that was a learning process because it was different than your learning plane. It had its own personality.
It's still a learning process. And that's, I think, one of the most things I'm most excited about flying is that there's always something to learn. Mm. And I think as humans, we're programmed that we should be always seeking learning opportunities. And I think as we get older, especially as we retire and think about our life, that, you know, now is the time to relax. Now's the time to enjoy. Well, you know what? It doesn't mean you have to enjoy sitting on the couch. You know, we should be challenging ourselves still and still continuing to grow and share and enjoy life and all that it has to offer, because there's so many things that we haven't done that we need to do, that we need to see.
Yeah, the vibrancy stays alive the more you lean into the rhythm of it all.
Yes.
You want to keep it alive. And if you start slowing now, of course, I'm a meditation teacher and I'm all about breathing and slowing down. That being said, you also have to go, you have to rev back up, right? There's a give and a take, a pull and a press, an oppositional energy within our human bodies that we have to lean into. And I really think the piloting aspect of it all, Audrey, is so metaphorical for your life, where if you kind of look at, to get to that pilot seat, like there's a progression. And it's interesting how you've progressed up through your businesses and through your life to at this point, like literally, you know, taking the wheel, is that what it's called in an airplane?
Yoke.
The yoke. Thank you. Taking the yoke in the airplane is, it's like you've peaked at a certain time, you know, in your evolution to where now you are ready to step into the advisor role, step into the coaching role, step into more of these public speaking roles, because you have piloted your way through sitting, like being in the classroom on the tarmac, sitting in the passenger seat, moving your way up, sitting next to the instructor. And now it's in your hands. And not that you're, of course, you know, permanently in this moment, you can fly to Salt Lake City, you can fly up to Oregon, you can fly to Florida, you can fly there. But metaphorically, what does that mean for Audrey within the essence of who she's understanding more and more of who she is? Like, you know now that you can do absolutely anything you want with all of these goals. And by chasing the permanence of the goal of flying, look at all the other things that it's given you in perspective, not just intangible things that you've done. Right. It's been really neat to watch you. And we've, you know, named your life script, you know, piloting for your peace. And it's brought you peace through your professional world, personal world, and those two things mixing together. You have that metaphorically kind of on both sides. And it's been neat to watch all that happen, you know? It really has.
For sure. And I wanted to say something as you're talking. I wanted to say, you know, for others out there that are thinking, well, you know, I have this goal and I want to achieve it. But then there's what happens along the way is when you do share it, naturally, you have others that are fearful and are going to be naysayers, and they're going to share with you all the reasons why you shouldn't become a pilot, or you shouldn't complete an Ironman, because they're looking about themselves, and internally they're saying, I could never do that. And so you start hearing all these negative comments, and it's very easy to get influenced by those things. And so you have to be very, very committed to your vision and your goal and not let others influence what you think, because it's so easy to get sidetracked. And there's more people that are fearful than are going to be supportive, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a really powerful statement. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's very true. And those negative comments, they're so beautiful though, aren't they? Because they drive you into a deeper self-reflection.
Yes.
And if you've set your intention and you really have an idea of where you want to go, you're still going to be challenged with that. And what a beautiful gift for somebody to be like, are you sure? Because that's beautiful. That pressure to your decision is only going to make that decision stronger if you can stay in on it. You know, and you're right. I do believe it is more about their own sense of fear that they haven't shown up for themselves in that same arena to the level that you have, for sure. And I also think it's that they don't want to lose you in some ways, right? Where maybe you've kind of orbited close to them. And if you're going to go get pilot's license, so maybe that means I'm not going to see her as much. She's going to be busy over here. So there is like a strange selfish reaction to that. And you're right. The ones that are like, do it. Like, those are the ones you got to go to coffee with.
Right. Right. But you don't know how many stories I've been shared have been shared with me about accidents, people dying. I mean, it's like, I feel like every time I tell somebody new, there's some new story. So you have to be steadfast in what you want to do, because there's a lot of other things that are going to be thrown your way.
I think it's okay to say, hey, I'm going to share something that's really important for me, and I would appreciate your support on it.
Yeah.
I think that's okay to claim that space. Like, I've worked with, I've had two babies myself, and people have had babies, and you're coming into labor. And I've worked with a lot of postpartum moms, and, you know, or they're coming into class pregnant, and they want to, you know, stay in shape for their babies. And people in class that have had children, like, oh, wait till labor, it's so hard. And they go into these like labor stories, and it's the same thing as the piloting, and that, like, please don't do that. You know, I think we need to set the positive energy for it. Positive energy is incredibly powerful. And to keep that positive energy going, and it's okay to ask for it. Like, hey, I'm going to share a goal with you, and I really need you to receive this from a place of positivity. And if you can't, that's okay. I'm not going to share it with you.
But they don't even know that they're doing it a lot of times.
Sometimes they don't.
They're not doing it to necessarily bring you down. They're just having conversation. Like, it could be over a glass of wine. Oh, I knew this buddy. So I don't think it's always intentional that it's that they're being negative and scaring you away from what you're doing, whatever your goal is. It's just natural where people, come and share their experiences. So, I don't mind to hear it. I mean, honestly, because every time I hear it, like you said, it gives me more resolution that this is what I want to do.
Right.
I want to prove that I can do it. And so it's also, the reason why I chose where I'm flying to, because I chose intentionally a smaller facility where I knew I was going to get really good hands-on training. I wasn't going to just be a number where I was going to have to, worry about whether or not I'm really learning to fly, or they're really just trying to get me through the program so that they can, I was very intentional about where I trained as well. So I wanted to go back to one of the things that you talked about, which was the work-life balance.
Yes.
And what I've done there, because I don't think I finished that. What I do now is that I also intentionally now try to make sure that in the mornings I allow myself time, which I never used to. I used to get up in the morning, I would tip my feet on the ground, and I would either be working out, running to work, working and then working out, and then, running. So now I allow myself the most luxurious time that I have is sitting there in the morning, drinking my coffee in my kitchen and just enjoying and doing my breath work and just relaxing and letting the start of my day be intentionally slow and peaceful. And then I try to carry that feeling throughout my day, instead of what I used to do is, as you say, my breath was always up here and I'm always feeling like go, 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 go. And now when I get that feeling, I don't like it anymore.
Interesting. Yeah. That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah.
And so then I really try hard to push that away. And I'm like, Audrey, you know what? You can get there when you get there. If you're running a little late, that's okay. And I mean, it's really been a mindset shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped me. And so it's really, you know, been a very positive evolution in towards my peace and more balance in my life. So
how long do you take in the mornings usually?
Oh, usually I try to make sure that I leave my chair by 9 or 9:30. So, and so even if I go to work out in the morning, I'll come back a lot of times and I'll go sit there still for another hour or so.
Right. There's a grounding essence to it. It gives you a chance to kind of visit with your intentions, to check in with your intentions. You know, a lot of my program is based on, you know, self-actualization, turning inward, finding everything you need from within. And what's interesting about that inward space to people that live very loudly is that it can be muted very, very, you know, like in, you know, without your full intention of muting it because you're out doing so much. And so right. To encourage everyone to just kind of, I'm not saying sit in silent meditation for 3 months as much as like just find a moment in your day where you can just quiet that engine down so you can check in with everything, you know, because that voice inside those real dream driven, goal driven intentions, they feel big, but they actually start from a very quiet place. And to maintain that, the HRV we talk a lot about and keeping the coherence and everything within resonance within the deeper part of your DNA and who Audrey has already been predetermined to be, we have to get quiet in that. And it doesn't mean silent, especially for somebody like you. It just means just take your foot off the gas. I'm not even asking you to step on the brake. I'm just like, take the foot off the gas.
Right.
For a few minutes. So I love hearing that that is something that you're still, I remember when you discovered it actually. I remember you saying to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually not do a lot in the morning. I'm like, I like that idea. And, you know, a lot of your coaching is really just kind of encouraging you to do what you already know you need to do, right?
Right.
Like me being your voice outside your head sometimes and reflecting those things back to you. And you've done a beautiful job at integrating some of that stuff. And I'm glad it's still such a big part of your day. Because it's how I start my day too. It's very rare that I, unless there's a kid thing that I have to get up and go. It's turned into to the point where at times like I'll still be in my pajamas. I'm like, you have a client in 25 minutes. Like,
and it's, I was in pajamas till or workout clothes till 25 minutes before we had this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, Katie, let's go. And I'm journaling or I'm just sitting. Yeah. And it was interesting. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. There was like some tough stuff going on and it was like a month ago. And I was sitting in my space that I'm always sitting in and I love fresh flowers and I had my candle and my tea and my journal. And I looked over at the tulips in my vase and I live in New Hampshire. So of course it's very gray and kind of depressing this time of year. And I looked at the tulips and I said, how dare you stand so happily in your vase when I'm so miserable right in this moment, you know? But I didn't just let myself run out into the day, even though I was kind of grumpy and it's not really like me, but I was having this down moment. I sat there and, you know, allowed that to be part of the space too. So it's not always a positive time in the morning. It could very much be a frustration time, a sad time, a confusion-based time, but you still give yourself the autonomy to be whatever you are within the container that you've set to rebalance that resonance within Audrey. And that's something that I've seen you really shift dramatically since we've started to work together. And it's neat to see.
And I love that you gave me that gift, which is, it doesn't always have to be positive. It can be sad. It can be difficult. It can be, you know, unhappy and, you know, just feel what you're feeling and let it be okay. And don't try to push it away. And you taught me that. And so I do try to be more present and ask myself why I'm feeling this way and not just, and so I've also done that with others because, you know, our natural tendency is say, oh, don't be sad.
Don't cry. It's okay. Shush, shush, shush. Everything will be all right. Yeah. Or exactly. I'm like, don't cry. Come on. What do you got?
Exactly. Yeah. And now I'm like that too. I'm like, you know what? It's okay. You know what? Feel what you're feeling and let that heal you, right?
Oh, and, yeah, girl.
Yeah. So that's so important. And that's
not take it to the gym, right? Not take the sadness. I'm going to go run 10 miles with that. No, I'm actually going to sit and allow that small piece of me to come through and be sad and recognize the emotion. Then during my run, I'm actually going to feel good. I'm not going to be trying to chase that happiness where I'm going to allow myself to sit in the sadness for a few moments, you know?
Right. Because it doesn't go away unless you acknowledge it. Right. And then when you finally acknowledge it and you, as you say, you get it, you look at it, and then you can let it go. Then it lets you go.
Yeah.
Right.
It checks in sometimes, doesn't it? It's like, wait, are you sure you're not sad about this anymore? And like, well, maybe I am a little bit, but could you, thank you for the lesson. I love you, but could you move along? And it goes, all right. And that's like, are you sure?
Right, exactly.
And soon enough, it's like, okay. And it does actually leave. Emotions have a 90-minute cycle, and they sometimes can repeat that. And some of them can be downright uncomfortable. And you've really done a beautiful job in doing exactly that, allowing yourself to be uncomfortable in the moment without wiggling into a fix psychologically or a fix physically, but allowing yourself to be within that space between the inhale and the exhale, like allowing yourself to kind of be there, because there is the space that creates the next moment, that creates the quality of your life, that creates the quality of your dreams, your goals, and the intention has room to continue to fuel those things. If we can pause right there in that spot, and it's hard to do. It really is. It's not easy. And I see that a lot in our like Western world where come to a meditation retreat and you're going to be so relaxed by the end. I'm like, no, you might actually have a full psychological breakdown, you know, like this is not, and I'll always be the one that bats for, you know, meditation is not easy. Self-help is not easy. It should not feel good most of the time. It's going to feel pretty awful until you can actually deal with the backlogged emotions that you've stored in your kidneys, you've stored in your stomach, you've stored in your left shoulder, you've stored in your hamstrings, right? Until we can go in and visit with all of that. And some of them are decades old of backlogged emotions that we have to feel little by little by little. And then before we know it, we start to feel really good.
Yes.
Every day. You don't even have to try to feel good, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Every day. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Really. Anything else you want to add to that comment?
Oh, I was just going to say, like you said, you just don't know if you let yourself feel, you don't know what's going to happen. I remember sharing with you one day, I was at the finish of bar class and I was laying there and we're, you know, doing our final stretches. And I just got like crazy emotional. And I literally started crying like in bar class. I'm like, okay, this timing is not very good, but just letting yourself go and feel that is very powerful.
And you don't need to know the point of origin for it to be a healing moment. You just have to be present and hold yourself within that, and that everything's okay, even in this moment of release. And it's okay. In bar class, anybody that knows how I teach, you know, there's tissues there and I just hand them out, you know, and I don't ask questions, you know. And the Breathe to Ride work that I do, my business partner, Kristen, who you've met, she jokes with me all the time. She's like, Katie, since I met you, I've sprung a leak. It's like, why am I crying? And it's that, you know, even in the world that you live in within finance, I mean, you are expected to be together, right? You are expected to physically be together. You're expected to look a certain way. You're expected to, you know, hold yourself a certain way within all of your calls. I mean, and that takes, you know, some constitution to know that whether or not anybody wants to admit it, you still may have, your dog may have died this morning, or you got in a fight with your spouse, or you ran your car into the curb. Like, there's still life that's happening, but you have to hold all that together. And if you don't give yourself a minute to like churn the butter, mm-hmm. you know, stuff's gonna go sour pretty quick. And it comes out in sideways ways with the depression or relationships that fail or bad food choices or arguments with family members, you know, comes out sideways.
So a few years ago, I was having a bad day, and I mean, I have bad days all the time, but they're not the norm. But I shared with my client when, you know, what I would normally have never done. It started out the meeting and I just said, you know what? I'm really sorry. I said this and this happened. I can't remember what it was. And I was just sad and not in a good place. And that was the best thing that I ever did. And from that moment forward, I mean, you know, they just embraced me. And so it showed me that, you know what, it's okay to be a real person in front of clients and let your guard down, and clients actually resonate with you more and connect with you more because you're not just this stoic person. You're a real person. They want to know that you're a real person. And so I'm trying to teach my advisors that as well, because I see Cecilia, like, business a lot of times, or Lindsay, especially when you're young, I'm like, you know what? Relax. Tell them something about yourself. They want to get to know you personally as well. And it's not all about business.
No, no. It's about the people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I think that's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. And they're trusting you with not only their finances, but within those finances, I can imagine, like, those are their dreams, their goals, their children's future. You know, they're holding up their parents', you know, inheritance that maybe they ended up with, or maybe they came from nothing and now they have everything and they want to take care of that. So to meet that from a place of emotional intelligence, if anything's going to grow a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating, Audrey.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why most of my clients stay with me. Like, I've got clients that all of them started in Houston, most of them. But I'm licensed in like 26 or 28 different states because they retire or they get jobs and then they move. And so, but they all stay with me.
So, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So it's fun.
Very, very good.
So I was doing these type of meetings for years before it became vogue with COVID. Most of my meetings, over 40% of my meetings, were already virtual.
And what did you use? Did you use Teams then? What did you use instead of Zoom?
So we don't think we had Teams at the time. We used, what's the other one? Cisco, whatever Cisco does.
It was like original, huh? Wow, that was early out of the gate.
Yeah, the OG. Cisco, I can't remember the word of it, the name of it right now. I didn't really care for it a whole lot. And it's funny. People hate putting on their camera. Hate it.
Yeah.
They're better now because we all do it, like, you know, FaceTime now, we Zoom.
Yeah, but then they didn't want to.
Oh no, they did not want to. So I always tease them, like, come on, let me see your beautiful face. Like,
they probably didn't have the complexion fixers then either. Like, FaceTime.
But it's so funny because you can sit face to face, but boy, you put them behind a camera, like, I don't want to turn it on.
Yeah. That's why I like your podcast too, because the second you hit record, it puts pressure on, like, you know, you got to dig for diamonds, right? Or diamonds, you know, you got to put a little pressure on the system to kind of pull out the best in a lot of
right.
ways. You know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, Audrey, I'm really excited for your next chapter and where you're going. We are still working hard on getting your 2025 goals and intentions all kind of wrapped up in a little bit of a bow. And part of that for sure is your pilot's license. And you have some really, really cool things coming ahead for you. And it's just been really exciting to watch your progression of your becoming into this chapter of your life. It's been really cool.
Well, I want to thank you for all that you've been there for guiding me along the way. It's really been an amazing journey. And I love telling everybody about the life script and how it's helped me and how you've helped me. I've referred several people to you already, because I do think, you know, working with a coach is very impactful. And, you know, if you want to get to your goals and you want to get to them faster, the best way to do it is to have a goal or have a coach, excuse me. And it doesn't even have to be big goals. It can be the small goals. Like I said, some of it, for me, it was just getting calm. Like, yeah, that was literally what I wanted.
Taking the foot off the gas. I like to joke that lots of people, like, they don't even know there is a brake pedal, like at your caliber, like they have both feet on the gas and they're like, I don't understand why I'm just stressed. And I'm like, just release. Like, there's a built-in braking mechanism within the body. If you just pull back, and then if you need to hit the brake, it's there, but just that built-in braking mechanism by doing what? Just taking that breath is the beginning of it all. So yeah, it's really very good. And when you do work with me, what's one thing that I really love the way you've done this is I let people have 24/7 access via text to me.
Right. I think is awesome.
Has ever abused it in any way. And Audrey is really cute and I don't mean cute in a negative way, just really wonderful in that she would share these motivational texts. You have that. I actually have it on my phone now. It's a motivational app and they get these beautiful texts and she would share these texts with me And it was so empowering as a coach to see that the sessions that we meet with for an hour, you know, then you go out into your day and there'd be something from the session that was, you know, kind of self, you know, finding that you would then find in a quote and send it to me, or just send like little blips about what you're doing and what's going on. And so you use that, you know, coach texting relationship really beautifully. So by the time we got to our call, whether it was every week or every other week or every month, I have a pretty good roadmap of what's been going on. So we can use that hour to really get down to the ingredients of what we're baking versus just like, where are we, and casting the net. So I just want to say that you do a really good job using that. And that's something that a method that I came up with on my own, because, and when I started, I always felt there was a little bit of distance because it is Zoom and a lot of people are in from different states that I was like, oh, what's going on with them? And I don't want to be asking them all the time. So I just give you the permission to reach out, and you reach out really beautifully. And I get videos of takes off and landings and sunsets and, you know, all these kinds of cool things. So it built a really nice coaching relationship that you do really well with that. So thank you with that.
Well, the other thing I would like to add to that is, I mean, I do think that is awesome because, you know, before we started working together, I had a therapist I would see regularly, and then I stopped seeing her because I always felt like it was okay, but it wasn't great. We had a connection, but it was not like you and I. And like by the time it was like 40, 45 minutes of the hour, it was like, you know, you could tell she was like counting down the minutes. And I never feel like that with you. We might be an hour. We might be 45 minutes. Sometimes we might be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're like, okay, we've been on here for so long. We probably need to go.
I know. Even when I was in Texas, we really, the time went by very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I love that about you is that it's not, I don't feel like I'm in a box and I'm in a number, and that, you know, when I'm with you, I know I'm with 100% of you.
100%. Yeah.
And that's very unique.
Yeah. I'm not checking my phone. I'm not looking at emails. My phone's on airplane mode and I am dialed into you. You are my main concern. And interestingly enough, it's not even that it has nothing to do with me. Your needs in that hour call need to come through me right back to you. And if I'm distracted with other things, I'm doing you a really disservice. So I really like to click into what you're doing and I listen to what you have going on. So when you do reach out and say, hey, I'm second guessing this, and there has been 911 texts from Audrey, like, oh my gosh, and we need to talk. I'm like, all right, let's go, girl. And you know, we get on and we talk through things. And so it's not always, you know, necessarily rainbows and butterflies. There are times when I'm like, all right, what's up? Let's go, let's talk about this. But I have a foundation built with you, an emotional connection too, that you feel safe. And that's the same thing you do with your financial clients too. Yes. Because there's an investment that has to be made from within first into the whole thing. So I appreciate your effort in that because it makes a big difference in your goals. Ultimately, I want you to fly that airplane all over the country.
Right. Like,
you know, I love talking to you, but ultimately maybe you won't need to. You're going to be off doing your own thing, you know, which is great. So it's really, really good stuff. A couple of fun questions I like to ask everybody is, unless there's anything else you want to add to the conversation, because you covered all of my little questions that I've been looking at. When, not everybody does, when you eat ice cream, what's your favorite flavor?
Okay, well, I actually don't prefer ice cream. I prefer cookies. I do like, if I'm eating ice cream, it's probably something with caramel and chocolate and vanilla. Yeah. But I prefer cookies. And I should be a cookie monster because if it's a cookie, I'm probably going to eat it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Like, you like chocolate cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Do you like raisins in cookies?
I do. I just made some fabulous oatmeal raisin cookies the other day. Oh my
God. You make those muffins I sent you? Did you try those?
I haven't tried those yet.
You got to try those. You'll love them. If you like cookies, they're kind of, you could even maybe make them like a cookie. You could flatten them out.
Yeah. So everyone always asks me to make my chocolate chip cookies. So for years, I've like, that's all I could make, is everybody's like, how much are chocolate chip cookies? So now I'm like, I'm intentionally like making other things. So
make another thing. Try something else.
These thicker snaps that are amazing.
Oh, yeah. My son likes ginger snaps. All right. If you were in a grocery store and Audrey was on a label of ingredients, what would the ingredients say?
Oh, God.
If you were to pick up a package of cookies and that cookie was Audrey, what would the ingredients say?
We're talking about real ingredients?
Yeah. No, not like flour and sugar. I'm talking about the esoteric nature of Audrey. Like, what are the ingredients of Audrey? I didn't say these questions were easy.
I would say spicy. Definitely spicy. And I do love spice, actually.
Like Mexican chocolate spicy cookies, yeah.
Yeah, like a little bit of Tabasco and sriracha spicy, but also a bit of sweet as well. I like a little to be a little sweet as well, and just have fun and I don't know. I'd say it's sweet and spicy, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say that would be your label as well. Yeah, really good stuff. So, Audrey, I am excited to see where you land in the next year. Maybe we can do another check-in in a year. I know you have some pretty big goals. Nobody would be surprised at this point after listening to this conversation. You have some pretty big things that you're striving for that I have no doubt that you're going to get them. And you know what I always tell you is that when you have courage to lean into what you want, the universe always rewards that with not only what you want, but things that you didn't even know you needed that come in inadvertently when you lean into what you want. So you've been rewarded in the last year in beautiful ways, and your pilot's license is almost done. You have amazing things coming down the road. Your physicality is in an amazing place. You have a lot of really good things going on. So I just want to thank you for your time today, and everything that you've done for yourself in the last year has helped so many people. And I just wanted to get your voice out there a little bit to share that with everybody.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
And so much fun.
And I look forward to whatever the future holds as well. Excited.
Very, very exciting. All right. Thank you so much, Audrey. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
All right. You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you're looking to lean into a better quality of life, to reach for those goals that you just won't give up, feel free to check out theprecisionpoint.com. for scheduling a coaching call with me, maybe a discovery call that just can kind of get you going down this path to see what can lie ahead. Remember, the universe always rewards a courageous heart. All right, stay strong. The world needs you.